Shugo, do you know what the Moose test is?
I think so. It does ring a bell.
Yeah, you might know it as the elk test, maybe?
Yes. So we're talking about a scenario where a moose or an elk suddenly appears on the road and you have to swerve around it, right?
Exactly. And that's a great way to test the stability of your car and the functionality of your ESP system.
As long as it's not a real moose appearing out of nothing on a snowy, dark road.
Fortunately, there are no moose in Germany. There was no snow and it was broad daylight during my test drive. Anyway, buckle up, guys.
Yes, Captain.
From know-how to wow. The Bosch Global Podcast.
So, listeners, welcome to the second part of our special episode. Melina, you will again go to the test track and try another test car with another new functionality. And then we'll return to Bosch product owner for vehicle motion management, Enrico Habakian, to learn about the know-how behind the wow. So last episode, we talked a lot about braking, better braking thanks to software control. In this episode, we will focus more on the driving, also thanks to new algorithms.
No worries, dear listeners, if you haven't listened to the previous episode, which, of course, you should. Mm-hmm. You should listen to all of our episodes, but you'll still be able to follow this one if you skipped the last one. Do you want to take it away, Shugo?
Avec plaisir. So while this is all about algorithms and software, let's start with the hardware, because it's new hardware designs that offer the opportunity to control things by software in the first place.
And you're not just talking about replacing an internal combustion engine with an electric drive.
No, we're talking about much more than that. And here's our expert, Enrico.
Of course, a new generation of hardware plays a very significant part in this. So, for example, we have the whole trend of acting by wire, where we are moving away from hot coupled brake systems and steering systems and moving towards decoupled brake systems and steering systems, where we completely remove the mechanical connection between basically your steering wheel and the actual actuator. And this clearly offers a lot of possibilities for us to shape the actual vehicle behavior.
For the sake of it, let's imagine a vintage car, a really old one.
I know Sylvain's going to have fun with this one, our sound engineer.
Give it your best, Sylvain. As we can hear, this car sounds quite clunky. When you push the brake pedal in this car, you directly put pressure on the brake system. And when you steer this car, you have to put in some effort. When you're parking and have to turn the wheels from a far left position to a far right position. Oh boy, you need some elbow grease to turn and turn and turn the steering wheel. I'm sweating.
Oh gosh, I'm even sweating by how you've explained it. So driving was certainly not as smooth and easy as today.
Hell no.
And that's because there was a physical, mechanical connection between, the driver's controls, or Melina's controls in this case, and what Enrico calls the actuators. But the new paradigm is electronic. It's called brake by wire or steer by wire.
Which means everything moves quietly and smoothly. And it could even be that when I'm driving on a highway, the same input has a different impact compared to a parking scenario. Turning the steering wheel by, let's say, 5 degrees leads to a small change in the steering angle on the Autobahn, but a big change when I'm parking.
And that's the kind of functionality that by-wire enables.
But when you think about it, it is also a little bit spooky. Like, when I turn the wheel and there is a computer that has to translate that input into a steering action. Sounds like an unnecessary intermediary.
It's different, and even Enrico agrees.
I mean, of course. To me, the strangest feeling was to actually sit in a car and basically having this brake pad, which is completely decoupled from the actual brake, and you do not have this immediate feedback of what is happening, but the way the feedback is being given to you through your foot is always very individual. So you can really shape how this should feel like. And this, to me, in the beginning, this was really strange.
We discussed this in the previous episode. When everything is software controlled, the software can actually define what driving the car feels like.
Yeah, the brand DNA encoded in software.
Exactly. But if you feel a little uneasy about the by-wire technology, there's no reason for that.
This is, of course, a higher complexity, but in the end, also it offers a much higher benefit, because if you realize it and you make it work, you can realize a higher agility, you can realize a better safety, or even a higher efficiency.
Perhaps not just by replacing mechanical connections with, the electrical ones, but by then also implementing the software that the vehicle motion management team are developing.
I got a sense of what that software can do when I returned to Bosch's test track in Renningen near Stuttgart, where I got the chance to sit in a very special car with our colleague Philip Davis.
Yes, This is prototype for development use only. So we've bought this vehicle new in 2019 and since then changed quite a lot of parts, software as well as hardware.
A car playground for our engineers, basically a prototyping platform.
That's what it is. Unfortunately, I wasn't allowed in the driver's seat this time.
Milena, they probably heard about your push-button scenario and thought, nope, we've learned the first time around.
I really thought I could do that. Self-confident as I was, I felt super offended.
Okay, and I just learned that I'm not allowed to drive the vehicle myself. Yes. So I'm co-driver. What is it that you're going to do?
You will be driving.
What's the maneuver?
Highly dynamic maneuver, an evasive maneuver.
Yeah.
It's really close to the famous moose test. Nice. So we will be evading a moose today.
Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
Let's do that.
Yeah, so
wait, we said no moose in Germany.
Okay, well, this moose was just some traffic cones on the test track. But the experience did not disappoint. Wowie.
All right. So
I put my seatbelt on.
Yeah, sure, of course.
So the moose test is testing the limits of the vehicle stability. There is this suddenly appearing obstacle, and the driver suddenly steers left to avoid the moose, then right to avoid oncoming traffic, trying to stay in control of the car.
And the ESP system is helping with that too. Avoiding that the car topples over or spins out or, becomes otherwise unstable.
Mm-hmm. And be prepared. Here's what that experience is like. Philip is currently accelerating to about 80 kilometers per hour.
Playing the Jeff role today, for our American listeners, we're talking about 50 miles per hour.
I fully trust you with my life right now.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, saving lives.
I somehow was not ready for what was coming. It was quite a strong force throwing me to the right, then to the left, while the tires were screeching.
All right, watch out.
God, I think I started laughing out of shock.
Right. So first of all, sorry.
I really didn't expect that.
Nice. Yeah. Oh my god. I thought that I could do that.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Uh-huh, yeah. That was very impressive.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad to kind of hear that the ESP system did its job. I mean, the car and you in it, it stayed safe.
Yeah, we absolutely did. ESP allows the four wheels to be braked individually. On top of that, there is a controller who decides which wheels to brake and how strongly to brake them. What's special about this car that I'm test driving, however, it has an upgraded controller that can talk to not only the brakes, but the other actuators as well. It can modify the suspension, the four dampers. So let's see how that changes the experience.
Yeah, okay.
So when just looking at vehicle stability, this was already fine, yeah? But overall, the experience can definitely be better. So that's why I'm now switching on our suspension control as well.
Yeah.
So the controller itself, basically, software, stays the same. Yeah? Just now, we will use an additional system to stabilize the vehicle.
That's the core idea of vehicle motion management, combining multiple systems to work on one task collaboratively.
Precisely.
Yeah? So not only can we use suspension systems, as in this vehicle, we can also use steering systems such as steer-by-wire, rear wheel steering, also different powertrain configurations, torque vectoring, different systems there, wheel individual electric motors. Basically any actuator that has an effect on driving dynamics, we can utilize
now. And that could all come together.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the traffic cone elk.
We're getting closer.
Of course, yes.
Okay, so same maneuver again right now?
Yes, no, so now it's the same maneuver again.
Yeah.
Same velocity as well, just now it's brake and suspension working together. So watch out again.
Uh-huh. Wowie, okay.
So I think not only was the car at least as stable as before, we actually have a small performance gain and stability.
Still a bit bouncing around here, but...
A lot smoother, right?
A lot smoother.
The vehicle body was planted the whole time, yeah? And for me as a driver, that gave me a lot more confidence, actually, yeah?
Do you experience a difference in steering, actually?
Yes, like the bouncing you also feel in steering, usually. Yeah, so in the first run, the bouncing that we were experiencing, that's also in the steering wheel. And that kind of, yeah, I don't know, stresses me out a little bit as a driver, right? I'm not sure if I'm doing the correct thing. The vehicle is kind of giving me mixed feedback. Yeah. And now that's all eliminated.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, that was overall so impressive. I mean, I've never done like the moose or elk test before. So to experience that already was super impressive. But then to have that comparison... really, again, I was so impressed. I mean, still, my arms and legs, they were just flying around through the car both times. I do have to admit that. But I really think that also when talking to Philip, it makes quite a difference for the driver, actually. And that was really cool to see because, I mean, in the end, that, of course, increases safety a lot. When the driver feels safer and more self-confident in the car, I think that's a fantastic thing.
Invented for life. I know we keep saying it, but I think it's a great motto for Bosch and it just fits with so many of our products. As you said, I think that was a perfect example to show how software can make cars safer.
Absolutely.
Now let's talk a little bit more about how that works. You know, we already said the main idea is to bring different actuators together to solve a driving task. But who coordinates them? Who, you know, tells them what to do?
It's not the driver. Or, well, not just the driver. In the driver's seat, I still give the same input as before. Accelerate, brake, turn left, turn right. What happens with these inputs is different, though.
At the heart of processing these inputs and generating outputs that make sense is the vehicle state estimator.
The vehicle state estimation basically is an artificial sensor that we are implementing in the form of a software algorithm into the car. It gets this information from other sensors, physical sensors implemented in the car, but they are aggregated in this artificial vehicle state estimation algorithm.
Wheel speed sensor, steering angle sensor, inertial sensors, and so on, they're all aggregated into this vehicle state estimator.
And then it estimates what state the vehicle is currently in.
It basically uses all this information to build a model of the vehicle. So a picture of what the vehicle is currently doing. And then there's another model of what the vehicle should be doing.
And these two vehicle models are compared continuously. And whenever you see that the actual behavior of the car differs from the target state, then a certain pre-control mechanism is basically implemented or realized, which means that just preemptively, for example, certain wheels are being braked or through the engine there is a certain deceleration requested.
That's really interesting. In driving school, I was taught to anticipate how traffic situations could develop, and now it sounds like cars are starting to do that exact same thing. So they can sense that something, I don't know, is about to go wrong or that something unexpected is about to happen and correct the issue before I even notice.
They assist you basically in anticipating what's going to happen. Briefly circling back to, you know, we were mentioning the hardware. We said that functionalities like this, software control, has been enabled by basically digitalizing actuators by separating driver inputs and actuator changes. On the other hand, if you want to have something like a vehicle state estimator, that requires some changes in the car architectures. Because the question is, where does the software live inside the car? Usually on an ECU, so an electronic control unit. But which one?
From decentralized architectures where we have a lot of functionalities, like a big portion of the actual software hosted on actuator-specific ECUs, like the brake ECU, the steering ECU, the powertrain ECU, which is very domain-focused, we see a big trend moving towards centralized architectures, which means completely rethinking how your software needs to be cut, how it needs to be designed, which functionalities might make sense on a central control unit instead of keeping them on the actuator-specific control unit.
When the brakes are no longer only responsible for braking, but might help with steering, for instance, that needs to be controlled centrally.
Everything gets more connected with everything, basically. So the engineers are working on breaking up those silos and really thinking out of the box, which, you know, according to Enrico, can have a multitude of benefits. What we've covered in these two episodes are just a few out of dozens of software functionalities that have been developed.
Those were probably the most fun ones, I think. I definitely enjoyed eBrake to Zero last time and the Moose Test this time.
Milena, I can assure you, we can definitely tell. So when more vehicle motion management features are out there in the world, Enrico says there can be, you know, improvements in many areas.
We also can have an impact on increasing the efficiency through every single function that we have by more and more using the powertrain to decelerate instead of using your brake, resulting in less brake dust, for example. We can, for example, also much more efficiently stabilize the car without having to rely on the brake again, which would also result in less efficiency because then you have to accelerate quickly again. So there is a lot of interdependencies to efficiency, sustainability that we are addressing with our features, and we are more pushing towards these areas: comfort, safety, sustainability, efficiency.
I think I really underestimated what software can do.
Right?
And I say that working at Bosch.
Right?
God!
Well, you know, I'm more in this software environment, and I still think it's amazing that, you know, algorithms can impact so many aspects of our driving experience.
What Enrico says is exactly what I saw on the test track. The new vehicle dynamics controller used the brakes less to stabilize the vehicle because it could also control the suspension. And with that comes a gain in efficiency. I think the overarching theme here is that these algorithms don't just help shape what the car feels like and inject a specific brand identity into it. It also helps us being better drivers.
Without us consciously noticing it. And if I hear about all of the things that are going under the hood when, you know, I accelerate, I brake or steer, it drives me insane.
That's a very good point. Everything remains simple for us. And if the software does its job unnoticed, that means it's doing its job very well.
As usual, Milena, thanks for hosting this double feature of vehicle motion management episodes with me.
Pleasure is mine, Shuko. I mean, I did the fun part. I got to try these vehicles on the test track. Next time, it's your turn.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think we should also have let me go out in the field again.
Absolutely.
Ideally on a motorcycle episode, but I'll definitely see if I can convince one of our engineers to take me out for a ride too. Our next episode will be quite special too. We have a few exciting things coming up, and you will hear from our company's founder, Robert Bosch himself. Quite an unusual guest appearance on our show, don't you think?
Definitely quite the unusual guest appearance. We got the chance to actually work and listen to some of the original statements of Robert Bosch himself. So stay tuned, that'll be amazing. And if you haven't yet, guys, subscribe so you won't miss it. Bye, guys.
Au revoir.
From know-how to wow. The Bosch Global Podcast.
Maybe I have to do it again.
Should we go for another one?